It's good to be back. Last week I took, we took a group to Cedar Point. Used to be my favorite place on earth. Man, I'm old. I was kind of dreading it actually, but because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to offer anything to the rides. And we took a group. There was 24 of us went. There were six adult chaperones, myself, Robin Shannon, Lindsay and Skylar, and five, plus Morgan and Kayleen Brinkman. It all went. And so, Julia, there's a picture of the group. 24 of us, and it was five vehicles, and everything went without a hitch. We appreciate your prayers. You can't really zoom in, but there's a picture of any of them. If anybody wants that picture for personal use, I have it. We had a good time. And the reason we did this was, you know, the kids are getting ready to go back into school. They're getting ready to go back into football. They're getting ready to go back into volleyball, cheer, band, choir, whatever it is, their daily schedule. And I wanted to just spend a little time with them outside of church, with them outside of school, outside of whatever. And you know, we had zero problems, because I was imagining like these school field trips where I'd have a couple ruffians that just went, mainly Jackson, where he just went and did his own thing and I had to track him down all the time. But no, we had zero trouble. A couple of the vehicles got stopped at a train track on the way up, and you know, on Route 4, there's really nowhere to stop. So I was driving about, last Sunday was not a good day to follow me, because I was driving about 35, so they could, on Route 4, I'm sure people were mad behind me, but I wanted to make sure everybody was in line. But it was just Rob and Lindsay, so I know they could have got there anyway. But here's the way that they went. You had some that were runners that wanted to go, go, go. Shannon, mainly. And then you had a couple. Lindsay and Skylar brought up the rear. And you had a couple that you had to push. I'm not going to mention any names, but I think you know who they are. Wee Wee was one of them. And Hayden and Devin. Don't get in a hurry. They had a good time, I hope. But the neat thing to me was all these different kids and all these different levels, because we had Brody as an eighth grader, and we had some other eighth graders, and then we had up into some college age. And for the most part, I mean, there was not a bunch of cliques like I thought there might be. I mean, and we had some kids that had to get added, because when I bought the tickets, I didn't realize I was buying one day only admissions and they had to be used that day. So we had about three that we had to find people to go. So we were able to do that. But it was a good time. I'm going to go to the next picture. And the message today is face the fear, semicolon, fearing fear. And this next picture, you can't see it. You kind of had to be there. Wee Wee did. We went to the Maverick first, and it's probably one of my least favorite roller coasters because it's jerky and everything. But that's the one the kids like because it's probably the fastest, one of the fastest ones there. And it was a short line. So that's how Brody got introduced to roller coasters. And after that, Brody was like, man, I'm not sure, Matt. We got up in line. We had an odd number, so I was going to ride by myself. And Morgan was going to ride with Brody. And Brody was like, no. I'm going to ride with Matt. I'm like, oh, boy, you've never ridden a roller coaster with me, because I like to have a good time. Make fun of kids, scare kids, that kind of thing. But I minded my manners. And we got off of that, and Brody wasn't real sure about the rest of the day, and Devin was also not real sure about the rest of the day. So the big kids, the older kids, most everybody went on, called Millennium Force, and it's just really high. Brody's like, I'm not going on that. He said, can we go back and ride that mine ride? I said, yeah. So they did. Him and Devin went, and I went, and we went and rode that. And they rode it like three times because you could walk on. And I rode it once because I was like, ah, that's enough for me. But this is on the Magnum, and it's also one of the highest ones. It's probably my favorite, and I like to have a good time. And we got about halfway up the hill, and Brody looks at me, and he goes, what are we doing? He said, is it too late to say no? I said, buddy, we're facing our fears. And the picture, you can't see it because we took it off of the photos in the little booth. But we start cresting the top of that hill, and, you know, I'm still an idiot, and I have my hands up. And Brody grabs my arm, pulls it down, and pulls it across him, and that's how we rode that whole ride. And I thought that was really cool because Brody was scared, but he faced it. And we each have a different person in our lives that we use to face fear. That ride, I was Brody's fear facer. Okay, and it was really cool, and we had a good time, and I'm glad we were able to do that. And for those that don't know, we normally pay for the kids to go to camp. We didn't have many go, so we decided we were going to pay for them to go up there, and I'm super glad we did. They had a good time. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, we have so many things that we are fearful of or that we worry about. And Lord, I just want to turn all those fears over to you today. Lord, I know that you're in charge. I know that you're in control. And I know that even when we're like Brody and we feel like we just want to stop, Lord, we persevere and we move on because of our faith that we have in you, our Lord and Savior. Lord, just be with me today as I give me the words you want me to speak and shut my mind down so that I don't go 1,000 miles an hour. Lord, just give the congregation ears to hear what you want them to hear today, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. So as I was searching for passages and I thought about, you know, using Daniel in the lion's den, I could use David and Goliath, I could use just a whole lot of things about facing fear. God pulled me to Numbers, and it's Numbers chapter 13 and part of 14. It's Numbers 13:26. But I'm reminded of another story. This is a neat little illustration I found this week. And Mrs. I'm a Terror chased her husband through the crowds at the zoo, waving her umbrella and unleashing insults like missiles. Her sweaty and tired husband was running from her and saw that the lock on the lion cage was left open. He jumped in, slammed the door shut, and pushed the lion hard against the bars. And, you know, we think of that as funny, and we sometimes we escape something we fear, but it leads us into things that we should be afraid of. And Ralph is like the people of Israel in the book of Numbers. They were confused about who they should fear. Now, I will say, when Chris starts chasing me with her umbrella, I do fear her. I do fear her. I usually laugh about it, but I'm scared on the inside. Let's go to Numbers 13. And this is the time the Israelites had been led out of bondage, and they had seen a lot of miracles, and they were getting ready to settle. And Moses sent some people out, and he said, go explore this land and report back to me where the cities are, what their armies are like, are they cities of walls, are they easily scaled, can we go in and defeat? Because back then, that's how you got your land. You defeated people. You know, you fought people and you defeated them. So we're going to start in 26. And this is when these scouts were coming back to Moses. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them that the whole assembly and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. And I'll explain that in a minute. Well, so what they had done was they got a pole and they put grapes, bundles of grapes on this pole, and they brought it back. So that's the fruit they were showing. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. In verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, "We cannot attack these people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak that came from Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." So we've probably all experienced, I send out feelers before I do things. Usually it's, how do I put this the best way? Usually the feelers I send out are the people, the younger people that aren't as wise as me, because they're not scared. So that's Morgan and Lindsay. I send them out to scout. Morgan is a little scared, but Lindsay thinks she's not scared. But they sent these guys out, and these guys came back and gave a it's kind of a twisted thing, because they gave this great report of the land of, look what comes from the land, this fruit and milk and honey. But then they said, but these people, they're enormous. There's no way we can beat these people. And I'll correlate it to sports. I went and watched a volleyball scrimmage yesterday, and it went fine. I'll go watch some football games. But there's nights when the football team faces guys and they just look like giants on the other side. But we got to make run the play anyway, right? We got to persevere that stuff anyway. And when I go to volleyball games, I watch warm-ups. Man, after the warm-ups, I'm like, oh, we don't have much of a chance. But then you know what happens to our little girls that are this tall. And by the way, we're getting taller. That freshman class, man, those girls are all bigger than me. But then I see these scrappy little dudes, and they just keep working, and they keep grinding. And by the end of the game, it's, 25-23. It's anybody's game. And I thought, man, if I'd ever watched somebody warm up before, and I never paid attention until I became a dad, and then I was like, oh, man, we're going to get crushed. When I played, I didn't care what the other team looked like. But now I'm like, oh, man, that girl's 6'6". Our girls are 5'2". We're going to get throttled. But that's what these Israelites were facing. They were shown the reward, but then they were like, I just don't think we can do it. Okay? So that was fear coming in. That was fear of the adversary. And now we're going to see a different kind of fear here. In chapter 14, in verses 1 through 5, we're going to see a fear of the ally. and I'll explain that here in a minute. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." These people became afraid of Moses. They became afraid of where Moses was taking them. They became afraid of the God that was leading them. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was on and I saw 4 million people walking across the desert and walking through a sea that was parted and water on each side and dry ground, and I saw that he put a pillar of fire before me in the night and smoke behind me so that my enemies couldn't see me, what am I afraid of? Can I not follow what Moses... At that point, when I saw Moses touch the sea and the sea's part, I've been like, man, this dude's for real. I'm going to follow him wherever he goes, right? But human nature, we get scared. We let fear creep in and take over. And these people were going to go back, choose another leader, and go back the way they just came from, and go back into slavery. They would rather do that because they knew what that was. It was misery. But they were comfortable in misery. They weren't sure what was in front of them, and they were scared. And sometimes we do that in our lives, don't we? Maybe it's not fear, maybe it's dread. Like, man, I dread Tuesday. I've been off work for a week, and I dread Tuesday. I don't fear it, but I dread it. Maybe that's what they were facing. But I'm not going to go. I'm going to go face it Tuesday morning at 4:15 when my alarm goes off, and I'll grumble about it. And I'll go sling 500 cases of pop Tuesday, and then I'll come home at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and say, oh, it wasn't so bad. And that's kind of where we got to with, and I spent some time with all the kids, but Brody was my main writing partner, so I'm going to use him a lot today. Brody faced his fears. It took some prodding sometimes. I didn't force him into writing, but I kept trying to encourage him to, Brody, you rode that ride just a minute ago and you liked it. This ride's way better. And by the end of the night, Brody was pretty sure he wanted to go ride Millennium Force one more time, or for the first time. Well, guess what happened to Millennium Force? It broke down and wasn't running. So, I don't know. I don't read too much into that, but I think that was just a way to say, man, Brody isn't ready. Matt, you weren't ready for that because I was dreading that one, folks. I was dreading that one, okay? I'm a daredevil, but I'm 53 years old and I want to see 54. But sometimes our fear, it turns us against the people we love the most. It makes us fear things. We start making up things to fear. Does that make sense? Because there's just certain things that... But when we start fearing the people we love the most, that's a problem. When we start doubting them. And that's not what God wanted. Let's go on. Verse 6 through 10. I'm not done with 1 through 5 yet. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those, had explored the land, tore their clothes, and said to the entire Israelite family assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So that is where, we'll just go to verse 10. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at a tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me, in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they." Verse 13, Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it." So, understand, when we fear things and we fear God, He's going to bring us through it. And Moses says, "Hey, look. You're going to lead us through it. And then they're going to tell all of their descendants and all the people that inhabit that land about what you've done for them." Moses had this thing called faith. And at first it was questionable because he didn't want to do what God was asking him to do. But you know what? Moses took his faith and applied it to his fear, and God delivered him. God did great things through Moses. If you ever have a fear that you can't get past, I want you to just try something. I want you to go back here to Numbers, and I want you to read this. And I want you to just put yourself in those people's places, those Israelites' places. Because, man, what they left was way more fearful than what they were going to experience. But they were overthinking. They were overthinking. And they weren't just trusting. And I want you to turn everything over to that God and let Him have it. And there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in just my family's life going on. You know, I got to meet my 9-week-old nephew, great-nephew, I guess it is, yesterday. So Beckett is 4 months old today, so he's 16 weeks. Atlas is 9 weeks old, half of Beckett's age. This dude weighs 14 pounds. And when he cried, it was like a man crying, I'm telling you right now. So we got to meet him yesterday with Beckett as well. And two of them kind of had a couple screaming matches because neither one of them were very happy. Lindsay was at guard all day yesterday, so Beckett was out of his routine. And Atlas lives in Utah. Right? Utah, and he's in Ohio now, so he's out of his routine, and they just weren't very happy. But it was really cool to see God's wonder, because Atlas was 10 pounds, 8 ounces when he was born. Beckett was 3 pounds, 5 ounces when he was 3 pounds, 8 ounces, whatever it was when he was born. And Beckett is now 10 pounds what Atlas was when Atlas was born, and Atlas is 14 pounds. Guys, if God can deliver those two little dudes, and they're both healthy, they're both remarkable, He can do anything for you. It's amazing just how resilient God has made all of our bodies. You know, I'm going to share a couple more. My mother's been in the hospital since a week ago Thursday. And man, it's been kind of just weird how everything has worked out. She went in, she had cellulitis on her leg. She was running a high fever, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And they determined it was cellulitis, and then they determined, oh, your iron count is, I don't know what it's supposed to be, but it was about half what it was supposed to be. So now we got a text message from Mom. My sister and my brother and I got a text message from Mom Wednesday saying, I mean, and I hate text messages, but basically, it's time for me to go. I'm full of cancer. I'm miserable. I'm terrible. It prompted me. I forwarded this to my girls. Morgan's at work. She loses her mind because she had a rough day with a couple other patients. And it just started a whole ruckus. So I made a point. We were at the campground. I made a point to go to Mansfield to the hospital to see Mom. And I walked in not fearing what to expect. I walk in and Mom's sitting there with her hair did and in full face of makeup and sitting in the chair, and she's just happy-go-lucky. I don't know. It's just weird. I mean, that's why I hate text messages, because I don't think she meant to put everybody into a panic. But, I mean, my brother called me, my sister called me, and everybody was like, what's going on? Anyway, long story short, she's having an iron transfusion today. She's going to have a bone marrow whatever tomorrow. She is set that she has some kind of cancer. I don't know. Her infection looks way, way better than it did. So I think maybe it's just they didn't know what they were up against, and now they're kind of whittling it down. This will be the last test she has tomorrow, and She's informed me, well, you know, if it's a blood cancer, we'll get that treated. But if it's kidney cancer or bone cancer or something like that, shit, I'm going to go home and enjoy my time with my family. Who knows? Who knows? I know who's in charge. I know who's in charge. And Mom knows who's in charge, and she's fine. And another one, Chris's cousin's husband, Trev, he's my age, 54, 55, something like that. And he was in a wreck about 9-10 years ago. He's not been the same since. He is, in Tracy's words, the oncologist kindly but firmly told me he has cancer pretty bad. We're waiting to hear from that. They're running tests and whatever. They're going to let them know what stage and where it's all at. Just keep her in prayer, because he is totally dependent on her or her dad. And that accident should have probably taken him 10 years ago. It didn't. He's a miracle. So we're going to see where God takes that, because he's already a miracle. We're going to see where God takes it. And I know there's others. While it stinks, there's no fear. Because we know God's in control. Sometimes we question why? Kind of like the Israelites there. How are we going to do that? You know, I have questions about how is Trev going to handle all that? How is Tracy going to deal with that? She has three sons. They're all graduated from high school. But how is Tracy going to handle it? We don't know. We don't know. But we do know that God's in control. We do know that God's in charge. And I personally think God's not done with Trev or my mother yet. And he's going to use them to really have something to talk about. So, fear of the Almighty God in 6 through 10, and we've already read it, but do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Guys, that's where we're at as Christians. We can't be afraid of what's going on out there. Because he's in charge. And we're going to go out and we're going to devour them. We're going to go out and we're going to devour them. And you can keep reading. But I want to take you to verse 20. No, 17. And this is Moses. Now may the Lord's strength be displayed, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiveness, forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. And here's the Lord's response in verse 20. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills this whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on an oath to their ancestors. No one has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Since the Amalekites and the Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn back tomorrow and set out toward the desert along the route of the Red Sea. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness your bodies will fall, every one of you 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb and Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. But as for you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to the whole wicked community which is banded together against me. They will meet their end in this wilderness. Here they will die. And that's brutal. That's brutal. But understand, these people had turned away from God. These people had seen God's glory. They had seen the miracles. They had seen the deliverance. I mean, I don't know about you, but we were 24 strong at Cedar Point. And I had a leader. Shannon basically led. I just kind of went along. But I was like, that made me think of that trek the Israelites made out of Egypt with 4 million people. They didn't know where they were going. You know, we knew where they were going, except for when Jackson took the lead, and then he was from here to there to here to here. 13.5 miles I walked last Sunday. It was a good time, though. But we trekked all over that place. But that was 24 people to keep track of. Can you imagine the fear Moses had trying to keep track of 4 million people? But he did it anyway, because he knew. And these people just turned their back on it continuously. And then I'm going to go to verse 41. I know I'm skipping some good stuff there, but I don't want to keep us here till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Verse 41, but Moses said, "Why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This will not succeed. Do not go up, because the Lord is not with you. You will be defeated by your enemies." Amalekites and the Canaanites will face you there. Because you have turned away from the Lord, He will not be with you, and you will fall by the sword. Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up toward the highest point in the hill country, though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's Covenant moved from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and attacked them and beat them down all the way to Hormah. Guys, sometimes things happen in our lives. Sometimes when we turn our back, we got to pay the consequence. These people were bozos. But then I think, you know, I'm not much different from these guys sometimes, because I do stupid things because of fear. You know, kind of like my illustration began, I run into the lion's cage to escape my wife with the umbrella. Think about that. Sometimes we run from our fear because we think it's so big, and we run into a bigger fear, or what should be a bigger fear, a bigger predicament, because we do things based on fear. Do not make decisions based off fear. Do not live your life in fear. Let God have it. Let God have it. We all have certain things we're afraid of. You know, failure is one of those things that we're all afraid of. But if we live our life in fear of failure, what are we going to do? You know, when Les started his own business, I'm sure there was a fear of failure. I'm sure there's times now where there's still a fear of failure. When I changed jobs, it was a fear of failure because I didn't want to let my wife and my kids down. I knew what I had before. But you know what I did before all those decisions? I know Les did that as well. I prayed over it. And when I went into that, I didn't have any fear because I knew God led me there. Guys, I implore you to, in major decisions or any decisions in your lives that involve fear or emotion, please turn it over to God and let Him have it. Because when we start making decisions based off fear, we're running into that lion's cage. I don't know about you, but I don't want to face any lions. I don't want to feel like a grasshopper, like these guys claim they felt. But let God have all your fears. Let God have all your worries. Let God have all your doubt. Because He already knows about it. It hung there with Him on that cross already. Don't let it ruin your life. Don't let it run your life. Let that run your life. Let Him run your life. Because understand that He wants to bless you. He doesn't want you to live in fear. He wants to bless you and keep you and deliver you. So I'm going to close with this. We're going to have a... Jamie, you singing solo? Right on. Jamie and Julie will be here. Les and I will be here. If you're living your life in fear, come talk to us. If you want to know more about why I can sit here and say that, come talk to us. Guys, I know God wants nothing but the best from you. It's not always going to be easy. If you want to know more about how to start a relationship with Jesus Christ today, come talk to us. Come talk to us. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. Your salvation is a free gift. You have to choose it. That's the God we serve. He could just pound it on us, and that's just what we are. But He wants us to choose to follow Him. He wants us to choose to have a relationship with Him. I'm going to close some prayer, then we'll have a song of invitation and wherever that leads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the example You've provided for us of what fear does to our lives and how bad decisions based on fear can be. Lord, we just want to turn over all our fears to You today, Lord, and turn over all our doubts and turn over all our shortcomings that we have and give them to You. And we know that You're in control. We know that You're in charge. And we know that You're going to deliver us out of all of our problems, Lord. Lord, we love You. We praise You. We give You all the glory. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen.